song, Mike.
It is. It's so great, you know. But actually, lately, I've been kind of into Mark Morrison, you know. You know that guy?
Return of the Mac?
Return of the Mac.
Yeah, that's a good jam.
Return unto me. Yeah, he's so awesome, man.
That could be your new song.
Yeah.
All right, well, lots to talk about. Mike Fouché is in tonight. It's our regular Wednesday segment with the man behind AlderTrack, a subscription news site that covers all things Chicago and Illinois politics. Tonight, we got to talk Springfield. They adjourned for the evening.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate.
Yeah, but you got to get a bite.
You got to get a bite. As I joked, there's happy hour specials in Springfield.
You know, when you're standing on those marble floors all day long, it hurts and you get hungry.
Well, today, you know, obviously there were rumblings that a deal is close because we've seen, we saw this coming. They were coming back in the session today. There were some meetings, some closed door meetings this week. But today was really a hurry up and wait kind of day. We got really excited about the middle of the day where there was something going to happen. Yeah, nothing has happened.
Well, the leaders and the governor met pretty much all day long on and off, and reporters camped out in front of the governor's office waiting for the big thing to happen. And then finally, around 3:30 this afternoon, details started to emerge. That number one, that there's been an agreement for a stopgap bill that will allow funding for government activities for 6 months. And this includes things like funding scholarships for colleges, the MAP grants, and social services.
All the things we've been fighting over for last
year. All the things
that
we've been concerned about. But it does not include any kind of payment for all of the backlog of bills. Okay, that still needs to be
resolved. So all the bills that haven't been paid in the last month or even before that, which are still piling up, those are still outside of this stopgap measure.
Right. And so then the other news that's big for Chicago is that there's money that's going for K-12 schools, including CPS. There's a number of different packages that are all coming together, which is really ultimately going to equal about $400 million more for CPS, which is great news considering that CPS has a $1.1 billion deficit for next year. Mm-hmm. That's money that they have to come up with just to open up the schools. Now, the other important thing that's part of this deal is that they're giving CPS the authority to break their property tax cap. So what does that mean, Justin? I'll give you one guess.
We just talked about this last night with Alderman Garza.
What does this mean?
It just means we're going to get taxed more.
Rock on.
So we've been talking about this a while, about the limitations that CPS has had, is the fact that they are at they're at the limit when it came to taxes.
And if they could increase like another $15 million bucks. Right.
I mean, I guess I understand the need to do that when you throw out staggering numbers like $1.1 billion, but that's really the measure in which the government's going to fix things, by eliminating a cap that was protecting the citizens of Chicago?
Well, let's talk about this. There's a number of things that we can expect for tax increases. Number one, there's a scheduled tax increase for the city of Chicago for this next year.
That's coming up.
So the property taxes are going to increase. So for the next 3 years, there's going to be a property tax increase. So we should expect a property tax increase for CPS. And then the other interesting thing is that yesterday, the Cook County Board released their annual financial analysis. And one of the things that they showed in their financial analysis for last year is that there's maybe about $700 million of pension payments that were not made. And that's been going on for some time, which
at the county level.
At the county level, which means that probably Cook County Board is going to need to increase taxes too, in some way, either it's by property tax or a sales tax or something, in order to start filling out the gap. So there's a lot of punches that we're going to be taking in the next year.
Is there any way, I mean, when we talk about, and I want to go back to the budget stuff as well, but why don't we stay on schools? What was CPS asking for? When we've seen over the last couple of weeks and months this argument about whether or not it's a bailout and what, you know, we want our fair share when it comes to Chicago schools. What was the number, and is $400 million close enough for CPS to say, okay, thank you?
CPS would like $1.1 billion from the state. That's really what they would like. What the numbers that have been floated have been everything from $800 million to, you know, $700 million is what they've been calling for. Recently, they stopped really tossing around a number. It's really never the CPS that was tossing a number around. It was always members of the legislature. And that's what they've been talking about has been, well, we want parity. The citizens of Chicago pay 20% of all the income taxes that's taken in. CPS should get 20% of all the funding for K through 12 education that Illinois puts out. They should have their equal share. Right. And, you know, that's a pretty decent argument. One of the important things that has been done in this deal, actually, another argument that CPS has been asking for is that every other school district in the state has a portion of pension payments for the teachers made by the state legislature. And now that's going to, except for CPS, and now CPS this next year is going to pick up $200 million of that pension payment.
So that goes towards that $1.1 billion deficit in a way, because that will pay the next pension payment that has to be paid.
It does. I mean, really, the $1.1 billion is not just operations of schools, but all of the pension payments that have to be made.
That's the bulk
which
of
is
it.
Significant. Yeah.
But that's what yesterday, I mean, we had Alderman Susan Sedlowski-Garza in here. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she kept harping on is that as a counselor in Chicago Public Schools for years before becoming alderman, there's not much more to cut.
No,
that, you know, there is this
really
argument
not.
About,
there's
you know,
really,
well,
really
if, you know, the mismanagement of funds, and they will take their lumps on the idea that, yes, they mismanaged the pension funds. These are huge balloon. I mean, was it $696 million for this year? I mean,
no, that
actually, was the one they just paid?
The payment that was made, that's being made tomorrow, and there are actually two or maybe three separate payments that are made every year for pensions. So, you know, there's a lot of money that goes to pay this stuff. And it's, you know, you can make the argument that there was a bad deal that was offered to teachers many, many, many years ago. We should never have promised all this. But I want to make a comment about what pensions are that a lot of people don't understand, is that if you are on a pension program as a worker, you are no longer paying into Social Security.
Right. You're paying, you're essentially paying in to
you pay,
pay
into the pension. Right. There's no Social Security. So if your pension goes away, there's no Social Security to take care of you.
Which is why...
And you don't have an IRA either.
And I think why we're seeing this to be such a serious issue is because politicians and lawmakers have really been playing... They've been playing around with those numbers.
Right.
And it has been the courts. It's been the state Supreme Court, which has said, no, you can't take away this net.
Right.
And they've
right.
tried in different ways to take it away because they got themselves in this hole. And that's why if you wonder why the court has been so steadfast, they recognize that fact that this is what people – this is everybody's
this is their
nest egg. This
I mean,
is the
you
end.
Can make a lot of people destitute if you don't take care of these pensions. And that's not funny. I mean, these are people who actually really – worked hard. They, you know, whether or not you like the teacher, they still went to work every day and did what they were supposed to be doing. And, you know, they deserve to have a retirement because they put their money into it. They're also contributing to some degree to the pension, too. You know, they don't have an IRA.
Right.
They don't have a 401k. You know, maybe they still do. But, you know, this is what's supposed to take care of them.
So essentially what happened today and what we'll see how it's going to play out tomorrow, because there are some competing packages here, there, wherever.
Right.
But the idea being that the CPS was looking for $1.1 billion because that's the hole.
Right.
They're going to get what it looks to be $400 million plus a $200 million to help with a pension payment. And then they're also given the ability to tax to get the rest.
There's an expectation that they're going to have to raise their taxes in order to cover the difference. So that, I mean, they're essentially going to have to raise.
Now, these are all rumors, meaning, you know, like we don't, these are all this is leaked information. Tomorrow, this stuff will be out there. Has CPS,
they're a lot stronger than rumors.
Okay. Well, as CPS and Rahm Emanuel, have they gone on the record yet to say this is a good deal, a bad deal? We're happy with this. We love the compromise. Are they keeping quiet until tomorrow?
I haven't seen anything yet. And I think that we should expect the mayor to keep his trap shut publicly until something actually passes.
Yeah, he's not going to want to influence it one way or the other.
Because there, I mean, I'm sure he's been spending a lot of energy in the back channels, but this is still so delicate. And I think a lot of things could go wrong in the next 24 hours.
We're talking about the budget, I guess we say stopgap budget, and we'll talk more about what that means. With Mike Fouché here at AlderTrack, our regular Wednesday segment here on The Download. We'll come back right after the break. Stay with us. .224 says, had the state invested the teachers' pension contributions instead of spending it, there'd be no problem. I've paid over $500 a month into TRS for 25 years.
Yep.
If I had been allowed to invest that myself, I'd have a nice retirement fund right now.
Yep.
I didn't have that option.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me is that, you know, we're still working with a pension program for employees in Illinois and city municipal employees. And I actually was a federal employee for a while, and federal employees haven't had a pension system for 25 years. Instead, they have a different system that's a defined contribution program rather than a defined benefit program. You get a defined amount of money on the other end. The federal government will contribute a certain amount of money guaranteed, and you put in a certain amount, like a 401k.
It's the same concept, but run by the federal government.
Right. And then you get a bunch of different choices about how you can invest your money. And, you know, it works pretty well. I mean, people seem to be happy about that. And it actually, it lessens the risk that there's going to be a big problem like this, and you can no longer have the government borrowing and taking holidays from putting money into it. You know, I'm stymied as to why that hasn't happened at a state level.
Mike Fouché is my guest tonight here on The Download. We're talking, Mike, of course, from AlderTrack, Chicago's subscription news site, also covers Springfield. Talking about the movement in Springfield today, where, you know, I reading the articles and the sort of trying to assess the tone of Springfield, a lot of people felt like it was a little bit of a breath of fresh air that because of the movement, because there seemed to finally be some movement at the top.
Right.
The speakers, you know, and the governor and all the leaders in one room and actually being in for more than 1 hour in every 2 weeks or whatever they were doing before, that it felt more like Springfield.
You know, the thing that's really the whole thing, and whether you call it his failure or his accomplishment, is Bruce Rauner gave in. Bruce Rauner, all, you know, we've been talking about this for a year. He's been talking about the turnaround agenda, the turnaround agenda, the turnaround agenda, which is, you know, that you change whether or not unions can have the right to bargain and all
this
other stuff.
A lot of ideological stuff that was pinned to the budget, and he said it was very crucial to passing this budget.
Right.
And in doing so, that would change the way that government has been working in Illinois for a
long time. And he had been saying for a long time, no, there is no way that I'm going to allow any kind of a stopgap budget. We're just going to forge right ahead. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, we were talking about I interviewed Pat Quinn, and I asked him, do you really think it's possible that we can have 4 years with Rauner with no budget whatsoever? You know, that was the kind of conversation we were having. And so finally, Bruce Rauner said, OK, fine, I'm going to put the turnaround agenda off the table. And so then he opened the door for the possibility of there being a stopgap budget. And so that means in 6 months, they're going to have to come back again, and that's going to be after the election. So, you know,
so is that really what this is about? The idea that they can put all tie all the shoelaces up now.
Yes.
So it's not an issue in the election. They can duke it out in November and then come back and see if the numbers change in any form.
So Bruce Rauner is effectively saying, here's what I think is going to happen. We're going to pass this budget, and then I'm going to spend, you know, as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to spend the next 3 months just pummeling the crap out of Democrats, particularly saying Michael Madigan, Michael Madigan, Michael Madigan, Michael Madigan, every stop along the way. And
that started that.
And he thinks that he has polling that shows that it's going to kind of obliterate any lead that his people might have. And the other thing is that Michael Madigan, and I'm sorry, Bruce Rauner, essentially has infinity dollars when it comes to elections.
Well, we saw that a little bit in the primary where we saw all of government be put on hold for a primary vote, and there was a lot of question about the money that Governor Rauner was putting into supporting candidates, and it didn't really come to fruition. The a lot of candidates that were put up by Rauner money didn't win.
Right. So they pass the stopgap bill, they get K-12 education, and I think also they're passing a limited capital bill which will fund highway development in the state. They pass those three things. That takes off the vast majority of the pressure on the legislature and the governor. They could go home. There's other things that they probably
they're
need to
go
do.
Home too.
But they could go home and just begin campaigning their brains out.
It's one of my pet peeves about how often they go home.
Well, you know, but,
know,
but let me tell you
just
something.
Just me as
let me tell
as
you
a
something.
Layman.
A lot of these people, this is a part-time job.
Yeah.
And you know, you're making, you know, $48,000 a year, and a lot of your peers are making twice, maybe three times as much of that for some of these people. That, you know, that's kind of rough.
Well, let's talk about what it means for stopgap, because the idea of doing this again in 6 months, especially, and you mentioned some of the bills that are not involved in this, and I don't mean bills that are working their way through legislation. I mean bills,
right.
Pay your bills, Destiny's
right.
Child, pay,
right.
your, pay my bills kind of
right.
thing.
Obligations.
Right, are not a part of this. What else is not a part? I mean, are we going to see tomorrow some things that, you know, social services, human services, things that have already been cut and kind of pulled to the wayside, just not dealt with in a way that is substantial and will get them back on their feet?
That's a great question. And I think that's the big reason why they didn't take a vote tonight. My understanding is that they're delaying it until tomorrow so that, you know, this legislation will be crafted and they can cross all their T's and dot all their I's and get all this stuff. I mean, from what I understand, already there's an agreement. There's going to be funding for the prisons. There's going to be funding for K-12. There's going to be funding for social services. There's going to be funding for MAP grants. Mm-hmm. The MAP grants, remember, IIT had said to their students who had gotten MAP grants, which is a form of scholarship from the state,
right.
you know, there's no more MAP grants, so can you please start paying up your full tuition or you have to leave? You know, I mean, that's not going to happen anymore, at least for the next 6 months. And but, you know, all the other stuff, the specifics, not quite sure. You know, there was a story that I read somewhere that there's $5 million for abstinence education, which is funny because Illinois passed legislation a couple of years ago that banned abstinence education.
Well, I mean, how much, and when you're in a situation like this, Mike, and it's all about stopgap and it's all going to happen before July 1st, how much do those little things creep in where something is put in and people are like, it doesn't matter. You know, we need to get this thing done. It's
oh,
just the
you
time
can be
of
sure that what's going on tonight are people are jamming in their thing. I mean, this is a Christmas tree. And so you want to hang every last little thing you got on the Christmas tree, and this is going to move as fast as possible.
I forgot what this feels like.
Oh, it's, yeah.
it's
Ooh,
been a year
stuff
plus.
Happening. Yay.
Stuff happening.
But, you know, I think that what we can count on is that the leaders are probably trying to trim down as much of that as possible in order to make it move as fast as possible.
Now, the one thing that has sort of been pulled out of this is that by CPS getting their money and getting the ability to tax us for more money, school will be ready to go in September. Although this has
right.
nothing to do with the CTU contract and CPS and CTU,
that's
which
right.
could end in a strike.
Well, so this is the interesting thing, right? So we're getting $400 million. That means there's $700 million left to work out. And so the deal that still has to be figured out is, well, is it going to be how much of that is going to be cuts to salaries and pensions to the teachers versus how much of it is going to be a tax increase? And, you know, that is a pretty tough fight for CTU, frankly, that they're basically have to say to the city, well, you guys got to figure out how to raise revenues. Now, they have been doing all different kinds of things for the last couple of months. In fact, they had a press conference a few weeks ago where they came up with a list of different stuff that the city should be doing in order to raise revenue. And some of them were kind of wacky, but some of them were, you know, reasonable kind of stuff. And so then another interesting thing is that last week, the Chicago Budget Office gave to us, AlderTrack, they gave us 30 different revenue increase proposals and specific studies and position papers or briefing papers on each of those revenue proposals. Everything from increasing rental car taxes at the airport to increasing a tax for satellite dishes to increasing
about it,
yeah. soda taxes. You know, every last little thing that you can imagine, they're coming up with.
All right. Last thing, and because I teased it out, I want to ask you about it. I saw Commissioner Boykin today saying that race and racism had a play at the Cook County Board meeting.
Yeah.
There's a plan to, and they voted it on, to
right.
consolidate Recorder of Deeds and the Clerk's Office.
Right.
Now, to the layman, you're like, oh, all right, that's two
right.
offices I don't really care about. And
right.
if it makes government more efficient, great. But
right.
but Commissioner Boykin says this has to do with race?
Well, so it was just a voting committee. It's got to go to the full thing
okay.
later. But the committee actually is basically consists of everybody on the county board anyway. and pretty much everyone except for five African-American Cook County board members voted to have this consolidation. And the argument is, well, it's going to save about $1 million a year in operation costs because you'll just wipe out the top leadership of the Recorder of Deeds office and you'll just move everybody over to be under the clerk. But you know, so it's not really that big of a savings. And Boykin and other African-American leaders are saying, look, the Recorder of Deeds office has historically been a black-held office. And hey,
Clerks too. Yeah.
Well, the clerk has been white for a long time. Okay. But the recorder of deeds has. Let's talk about some people that have been recorder of deeds. The current recorder of deeds is Karen Yarbrough. But before Karen Yarbrough, there was none other than Jesse White, who leveraged that in order to become Secretary of State. And then Carol Moseley Braun ran for U.S. Senate. She was a crazy dark horse candidate that came out of nowhere.
So it has been a springboard position for African Americans to move up in politics.
It has. And so the argument has been, well, you're just trying to take away one more opportunity for black people to be heard in government. You know, I think there's a little bit of argument about that, but let's take another piece, which is Richard Boykin is a West Side representative in the Cook County Board. He's a West Side commissioner, and it overlays a lot of territory that, so I'm going to do a little bank shot here. It overlays a lot of territory for Congressman Danny Davis, which everyone on the West Side is waiting to retire, including none other than Karen Yarbrough, who is the West Suburbs. And so if Danny Davis retires and Karen Yarbrough doesn't have a place to go, Richard Boykin wants to take Danny Davis's spot. Richard Boykin used to be his chief of staff. And so that means
now he's got to go against Yarbrough because she's no longer the recorder of deeds.
She's got nothing to do.
Well, we'll talk more about that. I'd love to get Karen in at some point. That'd be good.
She's a good talker.
Yeah. Mike Fouché is the man behind AlderTrack, a subscription news site that covers all things Illinois and Chicago politics. Mike, great to see you.
Great to be here.